KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 32 degrees. We look forward to be cloudy to partly cloudy today, a high around 45. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In Southwest Iowa news, officials with the Creston Police Department report three arrests took place over the past few days. At around 2:30 a.m. on Sunday, 27-year-old Jacob Cawthorn, whose address was unknown, was arrested with the assistance of the Creston K-9 PD Jax. He was taken into custody for possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine, second offense, and was being held in the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. At around 1 a.m. Saturday, 38-year-old Lexi Wombold of Creston and 42-year-old Travis Wombold of Fontenelle were arrested at a residence in Creston for violation of a protection order. Both were subsequently released from custody on promises to appear in court. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office has issued a report on recent arrests. Authorities say 47-year-old Michael Darrell Jacobson of Avoca was arrested Friday morning in Avoca on a Pott County warrant for violation of probation. Taken into custody Friday morning at the Pott County Courthouse was 24-year-old Brendan Odell Rutherford Malone. He was arrested on a Pott County warrant for theft in the second degree and booked into the Pott County Jail. A man wanted on a Pott County warrant for domestic abuse, assault with a dangerous weapon, first offense, interference with official acts resulting in bodily injury, and possession of meth, first offense, was transported from a jail in Douglas County, Nebraska, to Pottawatomie County to face those charges. 34-year-old Sterling Spires of La Vista was being held in the Pott County Jail on a $2,000 bond. Thursday afternoon, 26-year-old Sean Patrick Landis, Jr. of Council Bluffs, was arrested in the lobby of the Pottawatomie County Jail on a warrant for driving while barred, habitual offender. His bond was set at $2,000. And 54-year-old Carl Allen Race of Council Bluffs was arrested Thursday afternoon at the Hy-Vee store on Madison Avenue in Council Bluffs after a deputy eating lunch at the store was informed that a man had just run from there with some stolen goods. The deputy located Race a short distance away and took him into custody for theft in the fifth degree. Race was also wanted on a warrant for violation of a no-contact protective order, contempt of court. His bond was set at $300. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a series of meetings and a media blitz should have Guthrie County residents now ready to make an informed vote tomorrow on an $8.5 million referendum to pay for a jail expansion and parking lot improvement project in Guthrie Center that authorities have been promoting. Sheriff's officials have said the current jail, constructed 56 years ago, was originally only supposed to house 10 inmates and 5 employees, but it currently is 100% full, and that's due to segregation rules, which include gender, juvenile, medical, mental health issues, misdemeanor, felony, and so on. And while the jail might only have 5 inmates, it is considered to be full due to the segregation rules. Overflow inmates are transferred to another county at the daily rate. Authorities say the cost of housing inmates at other out-of-county facilities from December 2018 to November 2019 amounted to over $47,180 and does not include those transportation and labor costs of about $29,000 per year. They said also the jail is cramped. It was built to house several departments within the sheriff's office, including dispatch, civil patrol, and administration. The Guthrie County inmates charged with criminal offenses outlined in the civil code. Sheriff Marty Argenbright has said that due to an increase in crime, drug use, and mental health issues, there is a mix of 35 full-time and part-time employees, reserve officers, and chaplains. Because there's also an increase in inmates, some are forced to sleep on the floor and live in less than humane conditions. Officials say the 911 center dispatch area is not secure, and there's poor inmate flow that presents increased risk to public, staff, and inmates. The solution, according to officials, is a 14,800-square-foot addition that will serve as the Guthrie County Law Enforcement Center. The facility is designed to include 5 classification units and 4 intake holding cells and includes a jail with 28 beds with second bunk 32 beds, jail services, jail administration, sheriff's administration, patrol, and investigations offices. Other support spaces include interview rooms, evidence, records storage, and a sally port. From a safety perspective point, the new facility design and surveillance technology, officials say, will enhance safety by providing more effective supervision, less potential incidental contact between inmates, staff, and public, and reduced inmate transfers. You can tour the current facility and see the models of the new Guthrie County Jail Center at the Guthrie County Vote website, the link to which is in the same story on our news page at KJAN.com. Also, patrons of the Audubon Community School District will head to the polls tomorrow for a special election to vote on the issuance of $7.5 million in general obligation bonds. School District Superintendent Eric Traeger has said that while the current school building, built in 1962, has had work done on it over the years and has had additions made, has good bones, its circulatory system is in need of work.
There's just areas that are aging and that need to be renovated. A big part of our project is the HVAC part. That's about $3 million of our $7.5 million project. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we have six different systems operating in that building, and they don't always play nice together. So, you know, we'd like to get our HVAC system, you know, the controls of all that working the way they should, and so we can have maximum efficiency, as well as air condition the parts of our building that don't currently have air conditioning.
The bond issue, if approved, has a threefold purpose. First, as mentioned, is the HVAC, or heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system. The second deals with safety and security.
We have two different fire alarm systems in our building, and we learned this fall that should that system go off, and if a kid with a seizure disorder was standing in exactly the wrong place, the two different strobes could cause a seizure. So, you know, there's things like that that as we get smarter over time, hopefully, you know, we learn, and we need to obviously get that down to one system again so that it doesn't cause any harm. Also, we're looking at sprinkling the building, putting a sprinkler system in for fire safety, and then the other part of that will be improving our secured entrance.
Traeger says architectural upgrades would also benefit from passage of the bond issue tomorrow.
We're going to touch every area of the building, and so that includes our communication systems, our technology infrastructure, and then, you know, just things like floors and ceilings and paint and things that just update and brighten and make a better learning environment for our students. So, you know, some of the newer areas of our building will get very little, and some of the older areas will get a pretty extensive upgrade. That's the $4 million part of the project.
Passage of the bond issue, Traeger says, will result in a property tax increase.
We know that there are some things we can do as a district to reduce the impact, but I guess my message has been I want to give you the maximum impact, and then hopefully we'll be able to do things to mitigate that impact as we go forward. And so for a homeowner in Audubon that owns a home with an assessed value of $100,000, it's going to cost $36 and change per year for this bond issue. For the typical Audubon County farmer, typical Audubon County farmland, the impact is 81 cents per acre per year. Total property tax levy goes up 73 cents. And that still puts us in the bottom quarter of our comparability group.
The comparability group is with schools similar in size to the Audubon School District within the Area Education Agency. District patrons will vote at the Agri Hall in Audubon from noon until 8 p.m. on Tuesday. If the bond issue passes, design and engineering work will take place this summer and fall, with the hope that they can go out for bids later this fall or early in winter so they can be in a competitive bid market. Construction would then begin in the summer of 2021. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a Sioux City man accused of looting the checking account of a nursing home resident has pleaded guilty. The Sioux City Journal says 53-year-old Ronald Taylor entered the plea last week to a charge of dependent adult abuse. His sentencing is scheduled for April 21st. Woodbury County District Court records say Taylor held a power of attorney for the man who has dementia and can't handle his own finances. The records say that Taylor spent nearly $23,000 of the man's money since July 28, 2017, wiping out the man's account. Well, a selection of historic photos from 75 years ago are on display at the Downtown Museum in Sioux City. Vernon Tott of Sioux City was serving in the U.S. Army's 84th Infantry Division that was moving through Nazi Germany at the end of World War II, rounding up German prisoners, when they discovered the Alem concentration camp near Hanover. Museum curator Matt Anderson says Tott, who was able to capture some photos of the starving Jewish prisoners found in the Holocaust camp 75 years ago.
Vernon had been carrying a small camera with him all through his time in the Army, and even though he wasn't supposed to, he snapped photographs of his experience that day, and they were just in the camp for a brief period. I think it was an hour or two, and he captured some striking images of what was going on there.
Tott then came home and put the photos he had taken in a wooden box and didn't look at them until 1997. That's when he read a notice in his Army's unit newsletter that Benjamin Strodsky, an Alem survivor seeking the GI who had taken those photos during the camp's liberation,
came to life that he had these, and he actually was able to track down some of the people that were in the photos that were still alive. It's another way that we have a Sioux City connection with a terrible but very historic event.
Tot contacted Sirotsky, and that led them to finding 15 other camp survivors before Tot's death on March 1, 2005, at the age of 80. Vernon Tot was honored by the Holocaust Museum for his efforts and had his name inscribed on the wall there as a liberator. Selections from the Vernon Tot collection will be exhibited through April 19th at the Public Museum in downtown Sioux City. That's a check of the news. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.